Good morning, everyone. Our purpose is to glorify God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by sharing Jesus as Savior and Lord. We just want to take a minute this morning to welcome any first-time visitors that we have, and we'll just do it by section if you've got a guest or if you are a guest and want to just introduce yourself. Over in our section over here, do we have any first-time visitors? They're still coming in. And in the middle, I know I see some new faces. Oh, yay, Bill. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome. Anyone else?
Bobo's have been here before, but we're glad they're back.
Bill and Brenda. And over, go ahead. No. And any? Do we have any first-time visitors this morning? Well, welcome everyone.
The Coopers are on the back. It's Mike and Lisa, and then Kelsey and Emily, and they are first-timers this morning. And then we have Ken Farner's sister and her friends. It's Chris and Sarah.
They're on their way in.
Oh, okay. I thought they were in. I had talked to them earlier. Okay. That's Mr. Goddard and Jared. Looks like. Welcome. Yeah, I've been here before, but welcome again.
We want to welcome everyone, not just our first-time visitors. We're so glad that everyone is here this morning on this wonderful occasion, Easter morning. Do we have any announcements? The announcements are listed in the bulletin, and you can read those, but Sherry had something she wanted to say.
Yes, next month on the 23rd of April is our 25th gospel singing. Only this year it's going to be gospel and country singing.
Yes, Louise. And sign up to work. No. Thank you. Love you. Anyone else?
Yes.
So we need pies, cakes, bread, individuals.
Yeah, if it's local plan or, you know, pies and cakes.
Bottom line is get revved up for the barbecue, everybody. I think that is the clearly communicated thing here this morning during announcements. Yes, Susan.
This is not about barbecue. So, if you'll just take your bulletin, I won't go through it, but there's information about our upcoming golf tournament, which is next Saturday. We're still accepting 15 players. We can put you with 18. Also, for the youth, the junior high, information about our Florida trip. If you plan to go, I need your registration forms today. And you can check out all the information. It's in our bulletin. Please read.
Please read. Okay, yeah, just check out the announcements in the bulletin. Is there anything else? At this time, we would like to just open up for any prayer requests or praise requests that anyone might have. Surely there's praise on this Easter morning. Yes?
I have to pray for Sway and Scott Cameron 2 weeks ago. He's already home. James expanded in 4 days.
He did well. Good. Wonderful.
I ran into one of my favorite friends tonight, the football guest, Joe Williams. He's from Missouri. Joe has cancer. He's going through chemotherapy. He won't be there for about 6 months. And it's one of those casual things. I want to say he's from time to time, but I did ask him if I could put him on prayer list and he'd go off and say yes. So please pray for Joe. I appreciate it. And I received a phone call this morning from Mary Jo's secretary at her school, and she asked if we pray for Mr. Tom Bates. Lady's office on the camera shop in front of her. He was involved in a farm accident yesterday, confirmed by high voltage power lines in Vanderbilt. We don't know how severe it is, but please pray for Mr. Tom
Bates. B-A-
Chris Simpson. Chris Simpson. Just
Bill.
Bill Simpson. I'm sorry. Bill Simpson. This is his brother.
Anyone else?
John Missouri. He's going to start radiation tomorrow.
A co-worker, friend, he has a different last name than his mom, but his first name is Robert, 35 years old, thought he had the flu, but needs heart surgery tomorrow or Tuesday.
Yes, Sheila. Did you say who?
Norm Kaufman.
Y'all remember all of these people and many more on your prayers. Prayers are something we have at any given time, and they work, and the Lord hears us. So remember these people, the people on the prayer list, in your prayers each week. Oh, yeah, please register. The registration book should be coming around. Please make sure that you register this morning. So if they're not around, there's a couple of extra ones in the back, and we'll get them to you. And if there are no more, I think Sam is going. Sorry. Not with it today. Let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, please. Amen.
I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. But the stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him when I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything that I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. The light that shone from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear that I'd ever had melted into peace. It's Resurrection Day. The grave is empty. Why?
Has risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to hear 217. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Lord, we thank you that we can come this morning saying with the Apostle Paul, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Lord, we come to offer thanksgiving and praise and adoration and all else that is good that we can muster to express ourselves before you in gratitude for your blessings that you have sent our way. And especially this day, Lord, do we remember the resurrection. And Lord, as we have assembled in Christ's name to celebrate, to rejoice, to share, Lord, we pray for the leadership of your Spirit in our midst that we might truly know the resurrection power of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be your people. Thank you for being our God and for sending Jesus to be our Savior, a risen Savior, a Savior who is alive and working in each of us this day. We thank you in His name and pray. Now, as He taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And you may be seated.
Please join me as we say our Apostles' Creed. It's found in the hymnal on page 716 or above us. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. Baptism is a sign
of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. A sign through which we share the righteousness, Christ's righteousness, and become participants in eternal life. Those receiving this sacrament are marked as Christian disciples and are initiated into the fellowship of Christ's Holy Church. Our Lord has expressly given to the little children a place among the people of God. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Chad and Sarah, in presenting your child for holy baptism, you are thus declaring your desire and your intention to raise him in a Christian home. Do you now, therefore, confess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you keep alive and nurture the sense of privilege and responsibility that is now yours to live before this child as a person or persons who demonstrate the reality of the gospel of Christ? Will you do your best to see that he is brought up in the Christian faith, that he is exposed frequently to the teachings and the influences of the Holy Scriptures, and that he learns to revere and to worship God? Will you encourage his participation in the life of the community of God's people, the church, that he may receive his ministry and its guidance until, under God, he shall accept for himself the gift of salvation and be confirmed as a full and responsible member of Christ's holy church? And what is the name given your child?
God's grace and God's
his
mark upon you,
or his stamp upon you. Charles Moss Foster III, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, thank you a lot. Thank you for a new life. The privilege of character. Father, your blessing, please go. For this church, these men, this church, and Christ is. To you, the members of this congregation, we commend Charles. Is it going to call him Charlie? Whom we this day recognize as a member of the family of God in Christ Jesus. Parents, I declare our mutual intention and our promise to surround Charlie and you, his family, with prayerful affection and concern, and with the influences of our own lives. We shall endeavor to pattern our lives after the example of Christ, that Charles may be led to the fullness of the Christian life. Lord God, again, we offer ourselves to you, thanking you for your many blessings, and thanking you, Lord, for the example of Jesus, that he set the importance of children in the life of your people. Those disciples didn't think they did. Jesus said they did. And Father, we try to follow that example, and we continue. And so guide us and bless us in our ministry, especially the children. We pray again in Christ's name, the risen Christ. Amen.
It is children's time. The children would like to come down front. Where's Andrea? Oh, there she is. She's singing this morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter. Are you there? Last week I was on my way to work, and I had a particularly not so hot a day, at least I thought. I was kind of feeling sorry for myself. You ever have a day like that and you're kind of feeling kind of sorry for yourself? Things hadn't gone exactly like you should, or somebody hurt your feelings, or, you know, something. And I'm driving along thinking, woe is me, and, you know, I'm sitting at a red light, and I look over, and there's this homeless man walking along. But I have to tell you, the homeless man is not what caught my eye at first. There was this brown, fluffy puppy running around in a circle around this man, looking up at this man, and just full of energy, so excited, looking at this man with all this love. It just, you couldn't believe it. It was just the most touching thing to me. And I thought to myself, you got no problems. You know, look at this man. He's homeless. He's got this little puppy that loves him more than anything, because I guarantee you, no matter how little food he has or no matter how little shelter the man had, he was sharing it with that puppy. And therefore, that puppy thought he was the grandest thing in the world, the absolutely grandest thing in the world. And I thought to myself, I have Christ. I have the most indescribable gift that's ever happened. I have Christ. How could I feel sorry for myself or feel like anybody had hurt my feelings or anything at all? Because I have Christ. And He's alive. And He's alive in me because I've asked Him into my heart. You all have Him too. If you don't, all you got to do is ask Him to come in. And can you imagine when we get in heaven, when we get to heaven, I can see every one of us dancing around the feet of Jesus and looking at Him with that love. Just, we can't even imagine what it's going to be like. But that's what that little puppy made me think of. We are going to dance around the feet of our risen Savior, and we're going to be able to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus, for everything. Thank you for not staying in that grave. Thank you for rolling away that stone. And thank you for taking all my sin and all my guilt so I can come and live with you forever. Can you all say thank you to Jesus this morning? Because that's what Easter's all about. The bunnies are fun. The chickens are fun. The eggs are fun. And all that stuff is fun. But why do we celebrate Easter? Because we serve what kind of Savior?
Jesus.
A risen Savior, right? It's okay, can you say that with me? I serve a risen Savior. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you all to do something a little different today. I'm going to ask you to stay right here, and we're going to sing together because we don't want to knock over the musical equipment. Is that okay? Can we stand right here and sit right here together and sing? And what are we going to sing, Miss Melanie?
Well,
He is exalted, the King of Israel.
lovely, Andrea. Thank you so much. We express our thanks to God in our offertory giving. Will our ushers please come forward? Thanks be to God for His incredible gift.
Thank you. may be seated.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew 28:1-10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
I can warn you, as I close the sermon at the 8 o'clock service, all the lights went out. And we don't know if that had to do with the sermon or if it had to do with the power company. Also say to you, at the close of the cantata, the last song, the words will be on the screen, and I will just make my way right here to the altar area. And if you have any public response to make this morning, you're invited just to find your way to the altar. If you need to share it with me, that is fine. If you just need to come and kneel and pray, that will be fine too. So I will extend this invitation at this time, and if you feel that God is moving you to make any public response, from uniting with the church and professing your faith in Jesus, professing your faith in Jesus and uniting with the church and being baptized, or just to come to pray, you feel free to come here to the altar area and respond as God so leads you. I will be here to meet those who would like to converse with me or counsel with me or for me to counsel with them. We're here to celebrate. I think we've been celebrating Andrea's story. The children was so great. Celebrate the birth of a child and to dedicate that child to the kingdom of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're here to celebrate, let's go back to Friday. Good Friday. 2 days ago, if this is the third day, I guess that would be the third day back. Friday had not been a good day. In fact, Friday had been a bad day. A very bad day, if I may emphasize. The trouble had started, the real trouble had started Thursday night. Jesus was arrested. He had been betrayed by one of his own disciples, Judas Iscariot. But the pot had been boiling all week. I guess since he went to the temple and challenged the money changers, that lit a fire. And the pot really flamed up, bubbling big. And finally, Jesus, on Thursday night, was arrested. Jesus was shifted from the Sanhedrin to the governor named Pilate, then to King Herod because Pilate didn't know what to do. And Herod didn't know what to do, so he sent him back to Pilate. Although he was innocent of any real charges, they called it blasphemy, he was, by Pilate, finally sentenced to death. Pilate said, "Do what you must," and gave permission to those who wanted to crucify Jesus. So sentence was passed, and Jesus was led away. Led away to be crucified. And crucified means being nailed to a cross. Nails or spikes driven through the flesh of a human being. And that happened to Jesus. But not before. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, as the soldiers took pleasure in beating on his body. Crucified, Jesus hung on a cross between two other crosses with thieves on each of them. And there he died. But he died praying for those who were crucifying him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was crucified and dead. And before sundown, his body, his lifeless body, was taken down and placed in a tomb. A rock with a tomb hewn into it or out of it. Big enough for a person to stoop down and walk in or and to place a body there. A laid out or a stretched out body. And a stone, a large stone, was rolled across the entrance to the tomb. And the tomb was sealed. A bad day, folks. A really bad day. But that was Friday. And Sunday was coming. And what a great day Sunday was when it finally arrived. No, it was more than that. I think we could call it a marvelous day. Or any other great word that we could use to describe a day. A super great day, if you would. I contend that it was the greatest day in the history of mankind. Very early on that Sunday, some women came to that tomb, to that graveyard. Mary Magdalene was one of them. Mary, the mother of James, was another, and Salome was another. And as they arrived, there was an earthquake.
And then there was an angel of the Lord, it says, descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door of the entrance to the tomb and sat on the stone. And this angel announced to the women that the body of Jesus was not in the tomb, but that Jesus was risen. God had raised him up to new life. And if you follow that story, the tomb was rolled away, and the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty. Jesus got out of that tomb, evidently, before the stone was rolled away. The angel invited the women to come and see the place where Jesus lay. And then he instructed them to go. Go and tell the disciples. And they went. They didn't hesitate. They went. They went, and on the way they met Jesus. Alive. And Jesus instructed them to go and tell the brethren. Well, the brethren were the disciples. Go and tell the brethren to meet me in Galilee. And they went and told the brethren. And Luke's gospel reminds us that Peter, having heard, or when he heard, that the tomb was empty, ran to see for himself. He wanted a first-hand experience. He didn't want a second-hand knowledge of Jesus being alive. See, he was the one who had denied even knowing Jesus on the night of the arrest in the early hours of the trial. So Peter ran to see for himself. And then the Gospel of John tells us about John, the disciple, also being there. Going in and looking around and finding an empty tomb. As you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find that later Jesus met with all the disciples, some on that very day, some a week later. Jesus lived upon the earth, according to the Scriptures, for 40 days after he was raised from the grave. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that over 500 people saw him and could give testimony that Jesus rose from the grave. Dead, but now alive. Jesus. That's who we're here to celebrate today. God's Son, the only begotten of the Father. He had paid the price for our sin. And God raised him up to reign forever. The challenge this morning is to believe. And you who have already or are already believing, the challenge is to tell or to share. Don't keep Jesus to yourself. Share him with someone else. Tell others about him. And then the challenge is to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. In his victory over sin, which through our faith becomes our faith. The choir, they have a beautiful presentation. Everything that's flashed on the screen behind me, you're invited to sing along unless you're instructed in the words otherwise. Please join the choir when they ask you to sing. Please be informed through music this morning. And again, if you have a response that is public this morning, you know, I believe that everybody, every time they come into a sanctuary of God, should have some kind of
response to make to Jesus. But if your response today is a public response, you're invited to make it during the last song of the time. God bless you.
I am the way, the truth, the life.
Those were Jesus' exact words. He had gathered his 12 disciples in an upper room for the Passover meal to tell them he was going to leave them soon. When Thomas asked, "Lord, where are you going and how will we know the way?"
And that's when Jesus said, "I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me."
But there were still so many questions. How would he do this?
How could he, one man, usher all mankind into the presence of God? It would be through a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice of himself. The disciples would not understand it then, what Jesus was trying to tell them. But within the next few hours, the world would begin to see him become the way. He took the unleavened bread on the table, divided it, and gave each man a piece. "This is my body," he said, "that will be broken for you." Then he took the cup and passed it around for each to take a drink. He said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins."
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away. For a while you will grieve for me, but I will send a comforter to bring you the Spirit of truth.
They didn't understand at the time, but before another day had dawned, Jesus was arrested, tried, convicted, beaten, and then sentenced to death by crucifixion.
Some of what he had said was starting to make sense.
He was dying, and so they knew what he meant about going away.
They were beginning to understand the grief, but only the comfort they seemed to find was in his loving words. Father, forgive these who have done this to me.
The Spirit of truth would one day help them to understand what he was doing. It was God's love that made him sacrifice his own son.
Lifeless body was taken down from the cross and laid in a borrowed tomb. A large stone was rolled over the entrance.
Behind the stone lay the man called Jesus, who had professed to be God's son,
who had claimed to take away sins,
who had said he would tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. These were the claims that had gotten him executed. Blasphemy had been the charge.
Just before dawn on the third day, something unbelievable happened. The earth around the tomb started to shake.
An earthquake.
The stone that had sealed the grave rolled away. And then it became clear what he meant by his words, I am alive.
But Jesus walked out just as he had predicted, fully alive.
Thank you. Because sin has separated us, we cannot get to God on our own. We need the way.
Because our world does not offer us answers, we need the truth.
And because our own sin condemns us, we need life.
Jesus is the way.
The path to Almighty God Himself.
He is the truth.
Unwavering, unchangeable truth. The very Word of God in the flesh.
He is the life.
Abundant life now and in eternity.
Unforgiven.
hardly your home. And also rejoice. Thank you. In Christ, holy. Thank you.